present.
And I would giggle. I wouldn't even know what to say to him.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Mel Gelbart.
I'm horny, grab some lube and do it.
And Larry Mead.
I'm so butch.
Now, from one end of this cheap IKEA couch.
The only thing you can do by talking is ruin it.
Here's Nate.
Ah, breaking out an oldie but a goodie. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. With me as always is Larry.
Hey girl.
Mel is not with us. Mel is in Oakland.
Hopefully not getting shot.
She's not, and she's not at the A's game either.
What else is there to do in Oakland besides get shot and blown?
By drugs?
See the A's.
Mel's hanging out with a fellow Jew, Slash. She's going to see Slash tonight.
Oh.
So joining us in Mel's stead are Becca Costello.
Hello.
Who is back on the show.
Hi, Becca.
Hi, Larry.
You were on about a year ago.
Yeah, it was when I got back from India. So
Namaskara,
yeah.
Or namaste.
Namaste, Larry.
And also, Ted Sampson joins us. Hello, Ted.
Well, hello there.
Shalom.
Hola.
This is most of the In Your Facebook Improv troop, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I was like, yeah, let's do that. It'll be fun. In Your Facebook, it's the fourth Saturday of every month at the Sacramento Comedy Spot at 8 p.m. Come on out and see us. What? Because you can. All right, coming up this week on the show, we've got a lot of good stuff for you.
I feel like my microphone thingy is one of those things in the hospital where you control the morphine that they give you.
Why don't I have morphine in my microphone? I mean, headphones.
It's just you know what I mean? Like when you press the button, they give you more of the drugs?
Sure, I know what that is. Speaking of the A's, Dallas Braden sounds off on his hometown. There's a new basketball league that at least I'm excited about. I may be the only one in the room. And the last standing... in one small town.
Ooh.
I know, it's crazy stuff.
Dominus.
But first, let's start out with what's going on. Larry, how'd your week go?
It was awesome. I have several things to talk about.
Of course.
First of all, I saw Pitch Perfect, which literally is an incredible movie.
Okay.
You need to go see it. I can't remember last time I was at a movie where everyone in the audience applauded at the end of it.
That's not the Clint Eastwood movie, is it?
It is not.
That's Trouble with the Curve.
Here's the problem with Pitch Perfect. When you describe it, it sounds like a cliche.
Or like a baseball movie.
I guess.
Or
just
a singing movie.
Yes, and it really is good. It's about a cappella groups in college.
Oh, wow.
And it's really smart. It's a smart comedy, I think, as smart as those comedies can be. And it's funny, and it's so good. I laughed. I cried at some points.
Okay.
And also has really good music that all the people actually sang, which is good. So go see it. It comes out this weekend. And then on Saturday, I went to the trampoline place. Have you guys been to the trampoline place?
Sky High?
Yeah.
I haven't been. Is it amazing?
Oh, my goodness.
I've been there. We did a shoot there at one point, and I don't even remember. I think it was for something to prepare for, I think, the Beijing Olympics. We did a shoot there because trampoline is actually an Olympic sport.
It is.
And I saw your pictures on Facebook, Larry. I don't think you're quite ready.
I might be.
I don't think you're quite ready.
I could represent Ireland.
Maybe. In trampoline in Rio.
Yes.
Train, baby, train.
Can you twirl a baton whilst jumping on a trampoline?
You can't use a prop. And men aren't allowed in rhythmic gymnastics.
Well, that's just...
Hopefully that barrier will be broken soon.
Sexist.
I agree. But so we went, a whole group of gay bears kind of went. Not bears, just like... more, I don't know. A bunch of dudes went that kind of are bearish, I guess. So there were like, I don't know, 12 of us. That place is gigantic.
Yes, it is.
B, it's cheap. It's $9 for an hour. An hour of jumping and trampolines is out of control.
That's a lot of time.
We, there's a dodgeball court where we played dodgeball against like 12-year-olds, and they thought we were awesome because we were playing. And I had no problems taking out little kids.
Of course not.
And then there was this bounce pit thing. Imagine like a room full of dies, but the dies are all just a trampoline path into a foam pit. So you could do flips and stuff. This place has to be an insurance nightmare. I can't even imagine how much insurance is. And then there's the huge trampoline rooms where literally it's like larger than basketball court size rooms full of trampolines that are all connected. And then they have trampolines on the side walls. Okay, so... they said if you jump for like 15 minutes, you burn something like 1,800 calories.
Wow.
Whoa.
There are people on our that went with us. Like, I'm not the most in shape dude, but there are people, and I was exhausted. I was sweating. I was like wet. There was someone on our team that plays basketball all the time, or on our team, that in our group that went. He was so sore, he almost couldn't walk. The next day, there were, like, my muscles hurt in places I didn't know existed. And it feels really weird when you get off trampoline to walk.
Yeah, because you're not used to gravity.
Yeah, it sucks. It's like, you feel like you have, like, cement in your body.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Everyone needs to go.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
I literally cannot recommend it enough.
Is it which is more recommendable, Pitch Perfect or
That's
trampolines?
That's not fair.
No, but it is.
I would say you go see Pitch Perfect and you'll be so excited, then you go trampoline.
But what if I can only do one? What if I only have time and the resources to do one or the other?
Okay, well, applying a logic-based model to the situation,
okay,
one would decide to see Pitch Perfect because it's only in theaters for a limited time, while there are two places in Sacramento where you can go trampolining. And they're open all the time.
Okay, there you go.
Plus, you can jump on the bed for free at home.
Well, you could.
Not the same?
No.
What kind of bed do you have?
It's really big. And then there's all these warning signs about, like, how not to jump. And, like, you can't jump in your socks. You either have to do it barefoot or with socks on. And so, of course, we made it kind of perverted. And we're like, all you have to do is take out jumping and put, like, making love or fucking in it. And it would make so, like, the rules would all still apply. Like, don't knock into others. Be respectful of smaller people. Like,
yeah, it's very important.
It's all really funny.
It's like the fortune cookie thing.
Adam went. He was a little scared because Adam's tall. He's 6'6", so he was afraid that he would like really hurt his legs.
Because he has more fragile legs.
Yeah, because it's a lot more like pressure on it.
Well, not if you go straight up and down.
Yeah, but you still have pressure on your joints.
Yeah, but no more so than he normally would. I mean, that's more weight-based than
length. You have a
length.
Lot more force.
Sure, but that's more weight-based than length-based.
True.
Do we have any physics majors who would listen to the show who could weigh in on this?
Wallflower dude.
I don't know if it's necessary.
Physics. It's science.
Physics has literally been the only class I hated.
Yeah, you know,
authentically. Hated.
I never wanted to take physics, and I accidentally got into a physics class. But and here's how they tricked me. In college, they had something called, and we had to do a major, a minor, and then we had what was called cooperative study, which was basically three classes in one sort of segment or interest. And I picked, because it was Plattsburgh, New York, and I grew up next to Canada my whole life, I picked U.S. It was basically U.S.-Canadian issues was the intensive.
There's so many jokes waiting there.
Whatever.
I won't even touch it.
And so I'd done my stuff, and I went to this class, and it was U.S.-Canadian environmental issues. And I'm thinking we're going to hear about rhetoric, about acid rain and whatever. Oh, no. It was a physics class.
Oh.
And literally half of the class dropped after one class. And I went to my professor after two classes, and I was like, I am not getting this. I'm doing really badly. This is over my head. I really don't know. And he said, and this was one instance where I just, you know, threw it out there. I said, I think I may have to drop the class. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what. He goes, if you stay in the class and you do the work and you put in the effort, I guarantee you will not fail this class. And he carried through on the promise. I ended up getting a C+, I think, in the class. But the other thing I remember from that classroom, because it was in the engineering room and engineers have plenty of time and brain power, is I was sitting there and it was raining one day and I was like doodling on the desk. And for some reason, I went to the James Taylor lyric, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. And 2 days later, I came back for the next class because it was like every other day, like Tuesday, Thursday, whatever. And right underneath it, somebody had written, I see James Taylor fucking your mother.
Oh.
Which made me laugh out loud. It's unfortunate, but it did. Ted,
yes.
Did you do anything interesting this week? I know you had a bunch of holidays and such.
Yes, being the token Jew for today's show. Am I allowed to say I'm the token Jew?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can, we can't.
Okay, so I can say it.
And token meaning one representative, not somebody who's smoking marijuana. I'm
in
just
this
checking.
Context, yes,
just
that's
checking.
True.
Yes.
Thanks for clarifying. So yeah, it's Jewish high holidays have been coming and going.
Here he goes again.
But not in the token sense. So Becca and I checked out the local synagogue in Carmichael, and it was. I enjoyed it. It's nice to kind of reflect on the year that's passed, so you can get practice for the new year that comes in December. So now we're all ready for phase two.
What kind of Jew are you?
the best kind.
Reformed?
An open-minded Jew.
Sexy kind.
Or do you not like to identify? Like, I...
Don't label me. What kind of gay man are you?
We learned last week that... We learned
do you really want to know? I can tell you.
You don't listen to the podcast that much, do you? Yeah, well, we learned last week that Mel was a secret Jew for a while.
Oh.
Ooh. I had no idea Mel was, so conservative Jew.
Well, she's not.
She was raised conservative.
Yeah.
Conservative.
That's how I was raised, too.
And she kept a kosher home for quite some time on her own.
Yeah,
I did that, too. How far we fall. But I'm making a kind of a U-turn. Spirituality is interesting to me again, but...
Are you kosher?
No, I'm no longer kosher. But so I'm a non-kosher Jew. Maybe that answers your question.
That kind of... Yeah, it kind of does.
Or a treif Jew.
Ah.
But, yeah. So, yeah. I'm a Jew.
A community college, speaking of in Texas, has decided to ban pork from their campus.
Why is that?
It might actually be 4 year. The president of the college wants to have all their food produced there, and they don't really grow pigs, and also pork is, he says, not healthy.
Oh.
And it's a historically black college, so they had a lot of like pork chops that he didn't think they should be eating, and so they're eating chicken or something. I thought it was going to go, I thought it was to appeal to people that might be Muslim or Jewish or something. And I was like, it's a rural, historically black college. I can't see many people being like, yes, I'm going to go here.
So they're going with fried chicken, you say?
I get it. Just the whole thing sounded nervous.
You didn't say fried. You said fried.
I know I did.
Just for the record.
Thank you. I was like, I was not that overt racist, was I?
No, you were covert about it. Okay. I thought I'd just shine a light on your bushel basket.
Oh.
And,
wow.
And Becca, you actually participated in fasting.
The fasting, yes, that's a nice way to put
Mel wanted me to ask you about that. How was that for you? What made you decide to go ahead and do that? Because you're not Jewish.
I'm not Jewish, but I am, I'm active spiritually. I'm a chaplain at my interfaith church.
She's Jew curious.
I was going to say Jew curious.
There you go.
I was totally going to say that.
And so I've been celebrating the High Holy Day. High holidays. I always want to say holy holidays with Ted.
You
and
can't. You're a mixture.
You can say
of
the high holy days.
That's, is that that works too?
It does.
Oh yay!
Woo.
And so the first one, is Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year. And for that one, we went to the Bay Area, and Ted's mom made an amazing amount of food, and we ate until we couldn't eat anymore. And it was a party, and it was super fun. And then the next one is Yom Kippur, and that's the Day of Atonement. That comes, 10 days later?
Yes.
And
it's why you feel guilt for eating so
And for that, yeah. You don't eat or drink any fluids of any kind for 25 hours, and you go to synagogue 3 times during that. Well, you can go more, but we went 3 times. You could go more if you wanted to.
That's a lot of times.
Yeah, and so it was really, enjoyed it is kind of funny. It's challenging, right, to do it, but it was meaningful to do it with Ted, and I learned a lot from the experience. But it was funny because that was the very time that Nate contacted me to ask me if I wanted to do this podcast was in the middle of my fast. And I remember just kind of looking at it, and I was so beleaguered at that point, just kind of thinking, oh,
that's why she agreed.
What's going to happen? No.
Just kidding.
But it worked out. And later, I think I wrote you back and I was like, I just ate and drank something and I feel amazing. And now, yes, I can do the podcast. But at the time I was like, I'm so thirsty. I think so. Yeah.
Will there be drinks there?
Yeah. It was kind of a funny reply because it was like, I think I can, but I don't have my calendar and I'm in the middle of a fast and I'll let you know for sure tomorrow.
And when I can drink again.
Did you abstain from technology? Any electricity during this time?
No, obviously not if she saw my message.
That's
I
didn't know if it was on an abacus.
I sent her a smoke signal.
But there's no, so no eating, no drinking, no making out. And then what else is there not? We did a lot of napping. You're allowed to nap.
I'm pro-napping.
I think that's cheating. I honestly think that's cheating because if you're asleep... You're not really suffering. You're not really atoning. You're just sort of regenerating.
Oh, you're kind of suffering because every time you wake up, you get that super dry taste in your mouth, and there's nothing you can do to make it better. So every time you wake up, it just gets compounded.
True.
I'm a mouth breather, you guys. So when I wake up, it's just like super gross.
That's hot.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
A little bit of drool going on. For me, My baseball season was ended last night as an Angels fan. They won, but the A's won too. So
you can be an A's fan.
No, you can't.
They both have A's.
Wait,
no, I can't.
I don't understand the baseball. They won, but they still lost?
Well, they won, but they were eliminated from the playoffs because Oakland had a two-game or a three-game lead with three games to play. So in order for the Angels to make the playoffs, they needed to win all the rest of their games, and Oakland needed to lose all the rest of their games. They're not playing each other right now. And Oakland beat Texas last night to clinch a playoff berth, and that meant the Angels, even though they did win, are eliminated from the playoffs. So that was kind of sad.
But at least Texas lost. Is that a consolation for
you? You know it's not.
Okay.
It isn't. And here's the thing that kills me. Mike Napoli used to play for the Angels, and now he's an Angel killer. And I was like Mike Napoli. And he basically won a game for Texas against the Angels last week, which kind of hurt in their chances. And last night, he continued to be an Angel killer by striking out to end the game.
Wow, calling him an angel killer makes him sound so much worse.
I know it does.
That doesn't sound very spiritual.
It doesn't, but they traded him to Canada, to Toronto, and Toronto traded him to Texas. So there you go.
I'm still amazed they have baseball in Canada.
They do. In fact, there's actually a movement on to bring the Expos back to Montreal, or a team back to Montreal to be the Expos. And it's headed up, at least the public face of it is former Expo Warren Cromartie.
I thought you were going to say Celine Dion.
No. You know, although she could, in fact, be involved in that at some point.
I think her husband is.
She does have enough money to make that happen. Hey, my phone. I should have put that on airplane mode. I got a message. But
maybe it's Celine Dion.
Well, let's see. No, it's the Sierra Club, because those people don't know how to take you off their effing mailing list.
Why are they? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the Sierra Club.
Is it an email or a text?
No, it's an email. I get it on my phone.
Speaking of at some point.
Yes.
Can we briefly talk about politics?
We can, and we will, but we're going to get into the meat of the show here.
Need to talk about it with these two.
Wait,
yeah, that's fine.
Is there something going on politically in the world right now?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll find out.
And it's local.
Oh,
someone really needs to get unelected. And someone that needs to get elected
is Dan Lundgren?
Yes. And Ami Bera needs to stop making some stumbling mistakes.
Oh.
I don't know. All I see is Ami Bera is now a politician, and he knows Nancy Pelosi, and she's evil, and yada, yada, yada.
All I know is Dan Lundgren's an asshole.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry
now.
To be so frank.
Hey, now.
Becca's being patient.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. My mind is really scattered.
It's okay.
Oh, no.
I didn't mean to call you out. I'm projecting.
I'm voting for Bera. I don't know if we were supposed to say that, but I am.
Well, you can say whatever you like. Mm-hmm. No one's forcing you one way or the other.
That cat just jumped up on the chair.
It totally... I was looking at Ted, and then all of a sudden this cat just appeared from behind his back.
Oh, yeah. Ace is a jumper, and they jump on those chairs all the time.
Scary.
Thankfully, they don't jump up... If I'm in the chair Larry's in and I'm playing a video game or something, they have no problem jumping up like right behind me, but they don't do it when he's here doing the show, thankfully.
I think they know I don't like them.
Yeah, they're not quite as comfortable around you. So this I found interesting. I've spent a lot of time with Fox News this week. You know, they televised the suicide accidentally.
Oh, right.
Oh, my God.
Ow!
Oh, the cat just landed on my...
Cats have claws. It was all fun. It's all fun until the cat claws come out.
A claw right in my love handle.
Oh, yeah. That is not fun. It's not fun at all. So Fox News, they are claiming that porn is becoming the new ideal and value for young girls. And you know who's responsible for that?
Obama.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
That's what Muslims do.
Sorry. It's women. Women are responsible for it. They're consuming and endorsing porn such as 50 Shades of Grey, which has been recognized as mommy porn. It's poorly written, and it's a it's not a how-to manual. It's not poetic erotica, and pulp romance novels have transformed into a new genre embracing porn as literature. Explicitly sexual scenes featuring bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, and sadism and masochism. Listen, just roll it all up into one, baby. Write your article. Now, more than 20 million copies of 50 Shades of Grey have sold in the U.S., twice that many worldwide, and it's another example of the way porn is becoming more than socially acceptable amongst women, which, you know, I say is good. Way to go, ladies.
Well, your cat's chewing that wire.
They're going to be into porn. They can at least pick something more quality than fan fiction for, what shows? Twilight, that's become some weird mainstream.
I think that's how 50 Shades of Grey came into being, Twilight fan fiction.
Sure. And they go on to say that Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian became famous and rich for making a sex tape, which is only half right because Paris was pretty rich before the sex tape.
True.
And Kim Kardashian, yeah, she became famous for that, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah, using sex for money and fame, women have found a new way to feel powerful.
Well, didn't the article say that it was women who made those videos popular, which kind of baffles me, because I don't think any women actually went out of their way to watch Kardashian or Hilton have sex with anything.
Becca, what do you say?
Well, I don't know. I read that article yesterday and was kind of seething at some of the...
Of course.
Just the way that it's written is kind of... It's kind of poorly argued. I see what he's saying. Like, sure. Yes, 50 Shades of Grey is popular. Women are definitely feeling more comfortable in society, I think, to embrace porn and to be more kind of overtly sexual. Mm. But that article just had this tone of like... It's women and the media. It's their fault that porn is so popular and mm-hmm. porn might not be good for society. And I was thinking, really? Is it just women in the media or have men also made porn popular over the years?
Well,
you know?
Well, do men watch porn?
The argument is that, well, men have always watched porn. The argument is women have made it socially acceptable.
Ah.
Now, renowned physicist, psychiatrist, and psychoanalyst Dr. Jeffrey Satenhover, man, that guy had plenty of time to get a degree, didn't he? He wasn't doodling on a desk. He says porn is, quote, a form of heroin 100 times more powerful than before. Really? I don't know about that.
100 times.
Forensic psychologist M. Douglas Reed and renowned pharmacologist Candace Pert reveal that pornography is like a drug that triggers the brain to release a psychopharmacological mm-hmm. flood of epinephrine, testosterone, endorphins, oxytocin, mm-hmm. excuse me, dopamine, serotonin, and phenethylamine, which can lead to addiction and various other behavioral disorders. Yes. I don't know. I don't know about anybody else, but I really have become addicted to having orgasms. And I'm not giving it up. I'm not going to rehab. I'm not, you know, I'm good. But let me just ask the people in the room this.
As opposed to the people in the waiting room.
The people in the waiting room. People listening. I mean, Eric is at his computer in Portland.
Hey, girl.
Waiting with bated breath
for
this question.
Oh, by the way, thanks for the email.
Yeah. But the question is this. Have you, and I think I already know the answer, you are in the throes of passion with yourself or with somebody else. And so you are deeply in the moment before the moment. And I know it's different for women. Have you ever had the thought process? Well, maybe not with you, but he walked right into it. I couldn't help myself.
Well, I brought my girlfriend with me just in case. I'm sorry. I'm driving into this.
Would you care to testify one way or the other? He opened the door. I mean, I didn't ask.
Wow, I feel so
I have
bad.
No complaints. Okay. Seriously.
Aww.
Things are good.
Okay.
Aww. Thank you,
there's
sweetheart.
A reason why I'm Jew curious.
Because
oh. Hey,
once you go Jew, nothing else will do.
It's, right?
What's really funny, when you say Jew curious, it almost sounds like Drew Carey.
Kind of does.
So, I'm Jew curious.
It's not a good association, is it?
Yeah, no, that's weird.
But back to the question. In that moment, yes. when all of the blood has sort of flowed away from your brain,
yes.
Have things that seemed like a really great idea in that moment, then when the blood returned back to your brain, seemed like a really bad idea? Or like, well, I don't think I'd be into that. is that anything at all?
Regret?
Not after I'm not saying I'm not saying regret. I'm just saying, and it could be like something that you're doing, like dirty talk or just a weird thought process. It's not necessarily something you're engaging in, but it may just be like dirty talk in the moment. And then afterwards, you're like, well, that I don't know about that.
Well, there's this one time in Vegas where I felt like I shouldn't have strangled that hooker so hard, but it was only after the fact that
the
I realized
it. The bitch deserved it, though.
Well, it was a he also, which was weird.
That's
I'm kidding.
Hot.
None of this happened. Most of this
That's
did not
hot.
Happen. No.
It happened in Des Moines, Iowa, not Vegas.
It wasn't a hooker so much as a...
A man dressed in a panda where? Costume.
All right, so no one's going to answer my question.
Oh. No, I don't. I think, well, and I... Oof, this is a deep conversation.
Isn't it?
It kind of is, because I think sexuality is so different, and I think gay men sexuality is very different.
Well, yeah.
Because it's repressed for a while. Even if you don't have a bad experience, it's still mm-hmm. repressed. And so then when it does come out, it's like, woo! And you're in an environment where everyone is like, woo! Versus heterosexuality, where biologically men are more driven to have sex.
Yes.
And so when generally there's someone who's putting the gas and then there's someone putting the brake on, mm-hmm. where in gay men, you have people generally both pushing the gas.
Somebody's pushing the gas and the other one's hitting the NOS tank.
And in lesbians, they generally push the brake, which is why they get married and buy a house and have kids within 4 weeks of dating.
They've got dueling Subarus.
I can say that.
Wow.
Sure.
You represent the tribe.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. About lesbians and things. So, like, I think that gay men are way more open to things like that.
Ooh. Well, sure. I'm just saying, it's just really weird how, and maybe it's just my experience. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're in the moment, you're like, oh, yeah, whether it's dirty talk or what's porn you're looking at or whatever, and then you're like, oh. Well, I don't know about that.
No, I haven't, but there are certain things that other people can do that are just deal killers. And it's like, I'm done.
Yeah, I think we've talked about those before.
Yep.
They have classes at the Learning Annex.
No, they really should have
on
classes.
On deal breakers?
There's certain things that some people say in the midst of intimacy that I just think are wildly inappropriate. And I'm really open-minded. So gay men sometimes have slang words for things, and some of the words think... are not even in the realm of appropriate.
Larry hates the term boy pussy.
Are you curious, Ted?
Oh, no. I was thinking, like, lick my Lundgren might get you offended in the throes of passion.
No, then I don't want to, like,
I shouldn't have said that
punch
either.
It. Punch my Lundgren.
Yeah, we fully documented Larry's disgust with the term boy pussy.
Oh, my God. I hate that word. And people say it, like... I can't even think about it. No one's actually said it to me because it would be a deal breaker. Like, honestly, I don't care if I was being intimate with Kevin James, who I think is the hottest man in the world. And he was like, yeah, get me my boy pussy. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to see you later.
Wouldn't that be awful? I know how much you want Kevin James if it finally happened. And then he said that word and you'd be like, no!
That would be like, I'd have to go to counseling for a while. I'd have like loss issues.
Seriously, you would go from erect to limp so fast your penis would get whiplash.
Yeah. I feel like if I meet Kevin James and have sex with him, which I'm sure will happen.
Sure.
I'll just put duct tape on his mouth to prevent the off chance of it happening.
He has a dry erase board and a marker like Tim Russert.
No!
He's writing boy pussy on it.
Signing it.
You know, Larry, I think I feel your pain because if I were having sex with a woman and she said, you know, do something to my woman penis, I probably would be turned off.
Right?
Too.
It's awkward.
Yeah, it's just weird. I'm glad that hasn't come up.
Sure. Now, Larry, you mentioned lesbians.
Yes.
Sometimes the father of a lesbian will do just about anything to make his daughter happy. In this case, a Hong Kong billionaire has offered 40 million pounds, which is roughly $67 million, to any man who will make his daughter a happily married woman. Here's the rub on this.
Pun intended.
here's the rub. She actually is already married. To a woman. They got married in Paris. So she is already married. She's 33 years old too. So it's not like it's one of those passing fads. I mean, it's not like she's experimenting
she's
like
not
in
doing
grad
Anne
school.
Hayes.
No.
A drive-by lesbian, that's what I call them. It doesn't happen in gay men world traditionally. It happens in lesbian world a lot.
Can I just make a suggestion that Larry put his name in the pot and then you know, you can just split the money and go your separate way.
You know what? That's actually been one of the proposals has been at least one gay guy has said, "Hey, I'll happily marry you, and then we can do our own thing."
Like a lot of marriages in the 50s and 60s,
sure.
And 70s.
Mr. Chow, that's his name. He says, "I don't mind whether he's rich or poor. The important thing is that he is generous and kind-hearted." Well, if you give him $67 million, he's going to be rich. So there's that. He says that Gigi is a good woman with both talents and looks. She's devoted to her parents, is generous, and does volunteer work. So, of course...
And likes vagina.
And yes, she prefers to scissor as opposed to...
Woman penis, I believe is the term.
Exactly. No, not to get technical. At this point, why I don't understand why her wife, currently...
Yes.
And maybe she's a little butch, wouldn't just become a dude a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
the
man
doesn't have to see the downstairs business, because there's a lot of women I know that are very passable men, but are full women.
Yeah.
What's the dad going to do? Like, I need to see the genitals to seal the deal, because then that's just awkward.
We've all been to Walmart, Larry. Come on. We've all been there.
Walmart.
Yeah, that's where you see a lot of chicks who look like dudes.
Oh, I thought you meant there were a lot of trannies at Walmart.
No.
I was like, there are?
Probably. On people of Walmart, there are.
Really?
There's lots of dudes dressed in like hot pants and stuff. It's very frightening.
What Walmart do you go to?
Peopleofwalmart.com.
Oh.
No. I don't go to like Tranny Walmart.
There really should be one.
Tranny Walmart.
Tranny Mart.
Come on in. No matter which side of the coin you flip to.
where the deals are deceiving.
Yeah, my guess is she doesn't want to do anything like that because she seems to be somebody, because she's not even mad at her father. So it's not like she's like, my father, what a jerk. She's like, no, he means well. It's okay. But so she's sort of weathering the storm. But it's a ton of free publicity for his business. So multi-billionaire gets more.
Which is what, sex reassignment surgery clinic? Is that what he owns?
Could be. It's in Hong Kong. Wynn never knows.
Lady boys.
It's a mysterious, mysterious place. Now, speaking of mysterious places, Florida. Pasco County, Florida, to be precise.
Isn't that northern Florida?
I think it is,
which
but
is
I'm not
positive. Which
is distinctly
different than southern.
Sure, but all screwy. On the evening of September 25th, John Vincent Caruso and his girlfriend, Stephanie Madwell, were having a very heated argument at their home. Now, as people are wont to do when they become angry, Stephanie began swearing. Now, John, he was not pleased about this due to the fact that the raised voices might wake up their young children, and also because he has a problem with people swearing. It was at this point that John warned Stephanie if she didn't stop cursing that he would wash her mouth out with soap. There's one we haven't heard in a while. His anger about Stephanie's profane language is kind of odd considering that he's been arrested multiple times for charges that include drug possession and attempting to elude police in 2006, drug possession and attempting to elude police in 2008, drug possession in 2011. Now, he should probably worry much less about the mother of his children's foul mouth and more about his own life choices, but he made a threat and he intended to follow through. So after his third unheeded warning, because everybody gets three, he went into the kitchen, got some liquid dish soap, snuck up behind her, and began squirting it into her mouth. First of all, if you're in the middle of a heated argument where you've been giving warnings about washing people's mouths out with soap, how do you sneak up on them? How does that work?
Well, how do you just sneak up behind someone and wash their mouth out anyway? You have to, like, grab them around the throat and pour it in their mouth?
I think maybe.
Yeah, I would think you walk up behind them, you sort of sneak up behind them, grab, put your arm around their neck, tilt them back, and squeeze the old dish soap in.
Okay. See, I actually think that's real mommy porn.
Could be. So after slapping the soap bottle away and probably swearing a lot more, she called the police. When they arrived, they asked John if he had actually tried to pour soap in his girlfriend's mouth. And he not only admitted to it, he also claimed that he, quote, often did it to himself out of respect for his parents.
Wow.
He
That's
loves
like
his
self-auto-soapification.
Yeah.
He's trying to cleanse himself. He should have just done Yom Kippur. He would have been much better off.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's not really Jewish in any way, shape,
or
form.
You never know.
Jews
Florida.
Don't swear a lot. Maybe.
Well, it could be.
Jews like soap.
We're very clean people.
They are clean people. They spend all the time in the desert. They're very afraid of dirt.
Sure.
And sand.
So he was arrested on a domestic battery charge, released on $250 bail. That'll $250 bail. That'll teach him.
So my parents, who live in Ohio and Florida,
of course they
decided
do.
To leave Ohio because they were a little bit over it. And so they're in Florida for like a month or two. They literally went from one state that literally was pretty, it's still now back, it swung back a little bit, but it looked like it was going to definitely go Obama, although it's like a really key swing state, to Florida, which is now back in the fray. So my parents, because last year, the last election, my parents kept track. They got visited by 19 people in a week.
Nice.
At their door.
Wow.
I can't imagine.
19 people in 1 week.
That's horrible.
Because they're like in a key zip code area, so
right.
They're identified. Dear Lord. And my dad was bored at the time, so I feel like he might have talked to some of them. So
come on in.
There? He didn't care what who they were. He's like, I think it's great you're doing stuff.
Sure.
Do you want a drink? Do you want some snacks?
Let's do that. let's have some ice. Let's have some sweet tea and talk about it. All right, it's time now for the original segment on our show. It's time for Cool or Tool. That's right. Even without Mel's little thing, it's cooler.
We always be really like, "Yay!" Aww. Aww.
Yeah. We should abbreviate it as
"I missed my cue. I wasn't told."
It's okay. We're gonna roll with it. All right. First up in Cooler Tool, women for making porn fashionable. Larry, let's start with you. Women.
This is awkward.
I know.
I think the notion women can do whatever the f they want. So if they want to watch porn, great. If they don't want to, great. If they want to think it's great and talk about it, awesome. If they think it's evil, great. So. Cool, I guess.
There you go. Ted.
I think it's great that women want to get more in touch with their sexuality. It kind of maybe raises the porn bar a bit and makes it a little more intimate and sensual and a little bit better for couples. Wink. I winked at my girlfriend.
So that's
cool.
It's cool. Thank you. Yeah. Becca?
Nice audio wink. Well, I have to say that women are cool, right? I'm the only woman in the room, and I'm going to be on our side, and I'm going to put a tool out to the author of that article.
Ooh, good. Good toss of a tool.
Yeah, right? Little well extra. Played. Am I allowed well, to just yes. insert no, yeah. tools?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm going to acknowledge Becca as cool that's just doing that.
That is a different type of porn, but yes, you can, in fact, insert tools if you like.
Thank you.
See, women.
Have you guys ever seen gay male porn?
I have.
Probably.
Right? It is very far removed from, like, female erotic porn. It is just boom, ba, boom, ba, boom.
There's no storyline?
No.
Okay.
So what do they eat when they're done if there's no pizza from the delivery boy?
They eat the pizza boy.
That's true.
Yeah, of course it's cool that women are making porn fashionable. It's time we got a little bit out of the Middle Ages with our sexuality, at least in America. And
yeah,
America.
It's like, can we talk? Yeah, pet peeve when people think you're like Sweden is the rest of the world, and they say things like, "When will America be like the rest of the world?" Like gay issues, for example. I'm like,
sure.
In 82 countries, it's still legal to just be gay. So before we start saying how America sucks and every other country is awesome, let's get some perspective. It's also culturally biased because your frame of reference for the world is also a very small group of Europe countries,
mm-hmm.
which makes up a very small percentage of the population.
Well,
sorry, I'm off my
yeah, but it's where all the good people of America came from, Larry.
Well, that's racist.
Ooh. I know. That's why I said it.
Oh.
No, I'm trying to incite. All right, up next in Cooler Tool.
Wait, Juhad, that's the word.
Juhad, I love
Juhad.
It.
The billionaire for trying to find love for his lesbian daughter. Becca, let's start with you this time.
Oh, I got to go with Tool for that. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. You think most people with conservative parents, you have to deal with that kind of around the dinner table. Like, why aren't you married yet, you know? Mm-hmm. But having a worldwide call, like, my daughter isn't married yet, at least not in the way I want her to be. Eh, yeah, no, Tool.
Yeah, I have to echo the sentiment that he is a tool. He did the best he probably could with his mindset, but it was not the right way to do it. Mm. You don't just have the world judge your daughter and know all her business because you have problems with her sexuality.
Larry?
A tool because I support a free market economy. Ew, tool. Gross.
You know, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go cool, but
what?
with a proviso. Because it's cool because he does mean well, and ultimately the reason I went with cool instead of tool is because his daughter isn't angry with him. Now, if she were upset, then I'd be like, yeah.
Do you think there's a reason she's living in Paris? Because if she got angry at her dad, the money would stop.
Ooh.
I'm going to hypothetically put that out there.
Yeah.
Whenever kids come from that much money,
yeah, it's
generally
a lot of money.
They can't hate their parents. Authentically, they can't.
That's true. There is that. But, yeah, so that's that one. And
Becca's making out with a cat.
Oh, I was just making a little face.
They're kissing.
There was no actual contact.
That's okay.
Is it cheating if you kiss a dog or a cat?
I don't think so. That's
I guess
where
it depends on your intention and your emotional
yeah.
involvement.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, there is all of that. And finally, this week in Cooler Tool, the soap man in Florida for showing respect for his parents by washing his own mouth out with soap. Larry, Cooler Tool.
Well, given the context of how you framed it.
Yes.
I think that kids should honor their parents. So I'm going to say cool.
There you go.
Because you didn't reference the bad things he did.
I did not.
Oh. My goodness. I guess he's consistent at least, and he doles to himself what he does to others. But for that, I'll give him the cool, but he's still a tool for doing it to his girlfriend, obviously. So sorry, your reframing isn't going to distract me from what really happened.
Becca?
I've actually thought the fact that he washed his own mouth out with soap was kind of like the only kind of nice detail about that whole article, but I don't think I can really give him a cool because I read that article and I saw all the mugshots and no tool.
I love this
Gangnam
song.
Style.
Yeah.
I love that this song is number one in our country right now. I just everyone's dating it to Korean pop.
Yeah. I love that too.
Yeah, by the way, that guy is a tool because washing your mouth out with soap, yours or anybody else's, is a tool move. It's an asshole move. It's antiquated. Cut it out, you dill hole. Yeah, I gave up because the new thing to do on Facebook, and I've stopped fighting stupidity on Facebook because it's
you can't win.
You can't win. The thing to do about 5 or 6 days ago was to post a video of you dancing Gangnam Style.
Oh, I missed
or
that.
Or various and different things. And I'm like, you know what? I just give up. Post it. Do whatever.
Wait, I honestly did not see one of those. So I'm wondering if we have different Facebook friends.
I'm sure we have several different Facebook friends.
You haven't seen any Gangnam Style parodies of any kind?
No, not that anyone that of friends of mine.
No.
I've seen the Romney one and the Klingon one. There's some good parodies out there.
The Oregon Ducks one was good.
Open Gangnam Style. Yeah, I agree.
But you mean actual friends of yours have been doing the Gangnam Style dance?
Well, they haven't done... Oh. Actually, a couple of them did do them, but they're like weird theatery people.
Oh, I see.
You know how they are.
Oh, I know.
Says a group of people that are all in an improv group together.
What? Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, that's a scripted dance. We do our own improvised dance.
We're like hipster theater kids.
Yeah, we do our thing.
We're lazy theater kids. You don't want to remember words.
Yeah, get around. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this dance. We're going to do that. Fuck that. We'll make it up as we go. Because that's how we roll, bitches. Yeah. Speaking of rolling.
I love this. Have you guys seen the real video? I love when he's dressed like in the sauna and he puts his head on the guy. I just think it's hysterical.
All right. Speaking of rolling something style, we're going to roll Stockton style. Stockton's favorite son, well, maybe not anymore, Dallas Braden, he's done with Stockton. He's had enough. He has had enough with it.
Who's Dallas Braden?
Dallas Braden is a pitcher for the Oakland A's. He pitched a perfect game, I believe, on Mother's Day last year. So he's got the 209 tattoo. He's all about Stockton, loves his hometown, blah, blah, blah. Well, that has come to a complete end. His house is now up for sale, there was an attempted carjacking. So here's the police report from Dallas Braden's attempted carjacking. And I'm going to read exactly as it was written by the police officer in Stockton. As I was working at the above location, I noticed a black and color Cadillac with paper plates pull up to my location at a high rate of speed. Wow. How about writing it in English, cop? I had CHP Officer Wagner with me at the time of the incident, and Officer Wagner initially walked up to the sub, Dallas Braden, who exited the Cadillac. I noticed Dallas appeared to be upset and yelling at Officer Wagner regarding Dallas making several attempts to contact police via 911, but was unable to get through. That will piss you off.
Yeah.
Also heard Dallas saying, "This was road rage, road rage. The guy just ran the red light." I could also see Dallas pointing at the dent on the driver's side of his vehicle. He continued to yell at Officer Wagner, saying, "They kicked my car!" That's my Dallas Braden impression. As I was helping the other parties involved in the traffic collision, Dallas and Officer Wagner approached me regarding Dallas's incident. I asked Dallas if he had an immediate emergency, which he ignored me and began to tell me how unknown subjects kicked his vehicle. I think that answers your question. If he keeps telling you, then yes, it is immediate to him. The subjects tried to pull him out of his vehicle over road rage. I told Dallas that I would help him out after I was able to clear my current call. At that time, Dallas got very upset and asked me if I knew who he was. I told Dallas I didn't, and again, I would help him after I was finished with my current call. Dallas then shouted out, "I'm Dallas Braden. I'm a multimillionaire, and I pitch for the Oakland A's. I pay your, redacted, salary. That's why I hate you, mother, redacted." I asked SPD dispatch for an additional unit to assist me with Dallas in my current call. While I was waiting, Dallas continued to yell, stating, "I should have cut that mother, redacted." It should be noted that I was not able to get a word in with Dallas because he was yelling so much. You know how cops are really, you know, they tend to just sort of fade away when people are yelling and just become wallflowers.
Yeah, they're pretty mousy.
Yeah. It's...
He yelled at me.
Well, Mel, our cop, she would...
Oh, we're going to talk about this next week when Mel's back.
Oh.
At that time, Officer Prague and Sergeant Johansson arrived to assist me with a call. I had Dallas step back over to his vehicle so he could speak with Sergeant Johansson. Dallas continued to yell and was very upset over the damage to his vehicle. Sergeant Johansson made several attempts to assist Dallas, but Dallas refused to listen and said, "Redacted this. I'm out of here." Dallas got in his vehicle and drove away.
And then put his house up for sale?
Basically, yeah. He showed up at a city council meeting in Stockton and said crime was out of hand. It wasn't safe.
True.
It wasn't safe at like his mom's house.
True.
Grandma's house.
True.
And someone tried to carjack him.
All true statements.
Yeah. There was absolutely nothing untrue about it. But Stockton's favorite son.
They need to just close Stockton.
I don't think you can just close Stockton.
Yes, you can. You can say, you know what? It's been a decent run. Nothing is going to get better. And I am not a pessimist. But dear Lord, What the F are they going to do to fix Stockton? There's such structural problems with city government there. They're not going to be able to be self-sustaining for longer than a year. There's no industry coming to Stockton. They have one of the least educated workforces in the entire country. They have the lowest, one of the lowest literacy rates in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Why would any business choose to move to Stockton? In addition to just being bad locally, we're in a state that is not exactly business friendly. Mm. And because of the economy, government can't solve your way out. That's the only way it kind of could have existed.
Don't forget the high crime.
Yeah, why would anyone live in Stockton, legitimately?
I don't know.
Right now.
I should ask Nick Aragon that. He actually lives in Stockton still.
The only people that support Stockton are the people that grew up there or have roots there.
Well, and that's
and
where
they
the,
talk about when it was good.
And that's the whole Dallas Braden thing. I mean, he stayed in Stockton. He had a house in Stockton. He pitched for the A's. He could have lived anywhere in the Bay Area. He's making like $3-4 million. Not super rich by baseball standards, but by Stockton standards. So, he's done.
Couldn't they invest more? I mean, maybe this is naive, and where's the money going to come from? But better education, more police officers. Isn't that how they cleaned up New York when it was such a mess?
But they went bankrupt, didn't they? Stockton went bankrupt.
Yeah. That's the problem, because they were living on pretend money. Everyone in California was living on pretend money.
It's the American
way. The city
way.
Spent, they built an arena for a city of Stockton side, which was not appropriate. They built that waterfront, not appropriate. They built a baseball stadium they shouldn't have done. They built a parking garage in a new city hall, which, by the way, they haven't been able to actually move into, and it's sitting vacant because they can't afford to move. Stockton to me is the perfect like citification or personification of families that overbought houses and now they're dealing with the consequences. Stockton is. And what's scary, and I think this sucks, is imagine you're a retiree. You worked for 40 years as a public health nurse or as a police officer and you're guaranteed a pension. And now, because of such poor decisions and there's no money coming into Stockton, they're going to default on all those, and you're, you know, you might lose your health benefits. You're going to lose all those things.
Well, here's my suggestion, and tell me what you think, guys. I think, and sort of go along with Larry's idea, I say we return Stockton to its farming roots and just plow the entire city under and plant almonds. Everybody loves almonds, but they're kind of expensive. We'd have more almonds. The price of almonds would come down because it'd be more of them. It would be awesome.
I do like almonds.
See? It's a win-win.
Part of the reason Stockton will never get closed is because that means everyone in Stockton will have to move someplace.
Well, they could go to Modesto.
Modesto, I think, is better than Stockton.
Can we move them to Kentucky? It sounds like... Wait, I don't want to be...
That's Kentuckyist.
I know.
I feel like Mikaela Smith is going to hear this show and come down on all of us.
She would, I think, agree with everything we're saying.
She doesn't live there anymore.
Yeah, she moved.
She got the F out.
There, but
the
facade. And her family lives there.
Oh...
But
it's sad.
It's just what I think sad and a testament of how bad Stockton is. The University of the Pacific, which is probably one of the highlights of Stockton.
Oh, absolutely.
Beautiful campus, good school. Is that they talk. Imagine you're some out-of-state kid in Colorado. You dream of going to school. You get literature from the University of the Pacific that talks about how it's in the fields of California wine country. If by fields of California wine country they mean drive-bys and drug deals, then yes, that would be accurate.
To be fair, it's not really that far from Lodi, and they make wine there. I'm trying to be positive here. You told
if
me
I
you were
had
positive.
Glasses at this point, I would take them down,
look over them at me. Yeah,
I'll do it for you.
There's such structural problems in Stockton that now it's. I don't know how they can. I really don't know how Stockton can get better.
Well, there's that, or we could turn it into a penal colony, because that's we have plenty of criminals there. Yeah. So let's just do
They're going to have to do some outwardly because they can't even offer tax incentives because the city doesn't have the money.
No.
In California, because it doesn't have money, don't even get me started on the tax propositions in the state.
Okay.
Because we don't have money,
I won't.
They can't. There's no money for redevelopment anymore.
Right.
So redevelopment agencies have shut down. The only hope that Stockton actually had was to try to lure innovative businesses. But
what about the stimulus?
Oh God.
Okay. Should I not get you started on the stimulus either?
It's
complicated.
Well, the problem is the stimulus can help bring businesses. The problem is when you're a business looking to relocate, you can go to a state like Texas that has no corporate tax, has an educated workforce, and doesn't have to deal with the regulation challenges that California has.
Yeah.
Just as an example, the cap and trade law that California just passed about air pollution is going to drive solar businesses from California because the manufacturing of solar goods produces toxic waste, and it's going to be easier to do that in another state.
The thing about Texas, though, I don't have the exact number. I was looking at poverty rates around the states, and I think Texas has a fairly high one for such a well-employed state.
Yeah,
you know, it's so we don't have the corporate rules in place. You have people exploiting workers and charging them less than they can to have a living wage, and then the government has to pay for them.
Exactly.
So.
It's the downside.
Well, and the other thing is in Texas, the cost of living is less virtually everywhere than it is here. But, I mean, that sort of goes, and now we're going to go into a little bit of a political thing, and this is my thing. I think California overregulates. I think there are other states that way underregulate.
And
I think the solution really is, and this won't get me elected in any GOP primary, but I think the real issue is the federal government needs to step in and go, listen, you're overregulating, you're being ridiculous, and then it needs to step in on the other side and go, you don't have enough regulations. Yep. And just because you think it's cool for somebody to bury a barrel of plutonium in the backyard and you're cool with that, it's not fucking cool. You can't just do that.
Yep.
And that's kind of what you're dealing with when you're competing with Nevada and when you're competing with Texas. They've got such vast fucking wastelands of nothing that they don't really give a shit what you do.
I think you found a solution for Stockton. We can bury our nuclear waste there.
I say we out.
Yes, actually, probably a viable solution.
Well, if you didn't have the water going through there, I say we just... You know what? Here's what we do.
Turn it into a big paintball facility. Well, I heard paintball is very big these days.
Trampoline it.
Yes.
Or we could just...
Replace the streets of trampoline.
Like many supposed struggling businesses, let's just move Stockton to Texas.
Okay. Oh, how does... Better, more so than Kentucky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So that's what we're going to do. Political time is over.
I think we should...
Oh, really?
Go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
I was having a vision of when you described, you know, how the federal government should analyze states and decide whether they're doing too much regulation or not enough. I was picturing like a congressional cool or tool for all 50 states.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Alaska, cool. Hey, tool.
Cool.
It solved the political system.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Just to show you how bad Stockton is, they had a city forum where legitimately the topic was should they rename Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much bad associated with Stockton, they thought if they renamed it... That would be the problem. That's like a restaurant sitting around and being like, oh, no one's buying our food anymore. It's not good. I know. Let's change our name.
Well, that happens all the time, though.
Not with cities.
It's yes,
not since Istanbul.
Yes, it's Constantinople.
Has anything changed?
Right.
It's insane. Or India, where they're changing all the cities' names, much to people's consternation.
They're changing them back to more of an Indian sort of name.
Well, yeah. There's some debate on what viewpoint you take.
Like, I can't find Bombay on a map anymore, and I'm really confused.
But people in India still refer to it as that. Like, for example, Bangalore, where I spent a lot of my time when I was in school there, it was Bangalore, now it's Bengaluru. Most people still call it Bangalore because that is what they know it as.
Mm-hmm.
So they reject the notion, and it also comes down to religious differences, which has a very...
It's
complicated like, history.
It's like Pac Bell Park in San Francisco, I think.
Exactly.
Pretty similar. Our culture has called it Pac Bell Park. Right? Mm-hmm. No one? Okay.
Well, like Candlestick.
Oh, Candlestick, yeah. Exactly.
Which is Candlestick again.
Or ironically, in Miami, which is known as the AA Arena, American Airlines Arena, but everyone calls it AAA.
Oh.
So AAA gets free advertising because everyone in Miami calls it, oh, where's the concert? Oh, it's at AAA.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that funny? When I heard that, I thought that was the most interesting thing I've ever heard in a long time.
In Plattsburgh, New York, there was an adult bookstore, which has since been renamed, but it used to be called AAA. That was their name, AAA, AAA.
That's what Stockton could do because
just become
LA
a big
County
adult
just
store.
Ruled, the OSHA rules in LA County has to require condoms for porn. And so all the porn companies are going to leave the valley.
Right.
They should go to Stockton.
Yeah.
We don't require condoms.
It can just be porn and MMA training. That's all that they would have. Now, good news. The Bikini Basketball League is a real thing and it will be here before the end of the year. It's true.
It's as horrific as you think
basketball
it is.
How dare you say that, Larry?
Is it the BBL, is that what they call it?
Well, I don't think they've gotten that far, but the bikini...
Big-breasted ladies.
It's been around as a concept since last year. There have been no games yet, and even though there have 7 set franchises in 6 cities, according to the league's Twitter account, and you know they're official because they've got one, it's the Chicago Desire, the Orlando Lady Cats, the Miami Spice, the Los Angeles Ice, the New York Knockouts, the Hollywood Hotties, and the Atlanta Fleet Angels. And you know someone's going to call them the Fleet Enemas.
This makes me so sad.
Why?
Well, because the WNBA doesn't really get that much respect, especially in Sacramento. They're the championship team, and they just got
Monarchs.
Like, yeah, but they just got, you know, sold or disbanded. Whatever happened? What happened to the Monarchs? Like,
they were left. They left. The Maloofs didn't want to put money into that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was a Maloof thing.
So and real athletes, real women athletes, are not getting respect, and they're not getting money. But if you play in a bikini,
okay.
In Seattle, the WNBA team is a big deal. I mean, the Storm draw a really nice crowd to all their games, and they do very well. This is just something completely different. Now, the Lingerie Football League.
Is that a thing? It was a thing.
They suspended play for the Lingerie Football League. They may bring it back, though. Now, it's basically hot girls playing basketball.
The ones that were playing football before? Is it a different...
It's completely different.
Okay.
It's more
femme lesbian than butch lesbian.
Okay.
So there you go. But I'll be interested.
Butch lesbians play football. Femme lesbians play basketball.
You know what though, Larry? I saw the Lingerie Football League, and I didn't see a lot of butch looking lesbians.
They were wearing wigs.
They are not. And Super Bowl quarterback Mark Rippon's daughter was the quarterback of one of the Lingerie Football League teams.
To be fair, I do think it's degrading, but what they're wearing really is not that shocking nor revealing. One can make an argument, and I'm not complaining. I love college football. I'm really not a fan of pro football. However, the new Nike Pro pants that a lot of NFL players are wearing...
Oh my God, I know where you're going.
...are compression pants, but they're designed to be so lightweight, they are see-through. So when you watch men, you can see their jock straps on. I'm going to say that gay male watching of pro football has increased maybe 68%.
Dude, I was watching and
you literally can see their stuff.
There are guys in the NFL who don't wear a jock and they don't wear a cup.
Thank you
by the way. That's a bad idea.
And how do I know this? Because I'm watching TV one day, innocently enough, and there's Patrick Willis's cock, yep, clear as day on my TV under his gold pants.
Thank goodness for HD, huh?
And thank you, Adam Glover, for having like a 65-inch HD TV, because it's important I see everything on the field.
Okay.
I think we all can agree it's women's fault that men are showing their junk in football.
It's women's fault.
I think so, yeah.
It's women's fault.
Blame women.
I blame Nike.
God, once they wanted to vote, everything changed.
Well, if you think Stockton's bad, in the town of Vaughn, New Mexico, a drug-sniffing dog is the only certified member of the police force. Mm. The only one. Police Chief Ernest Chris Armeo. His name is Ernest, but his nickname is Chris, which is the lamest nickname ever.
It's from New Mexico. They're a little different.
He decided to step down after news stories reported that he wasn't allowed to carry a gun because of his criminal background.
Oh, my God.
Small details.
The attorney for the town, Dave Romero, said, he decided the attention was distracting.
Wow, they have an attorney. I'm
they have an attorney, impressed. but the only cop is a dog.
Wow.
I feel like that's going to be a Disney movie in 2 years.
And of course it will be. Disney's already bought the rights. Disney probably
saw a story
for it and now are paying this dog like, go to this city and be a only police officer. We'll make a movie. I think that's what they do now.
It's like, throw your hands in the air, buddy. Bud? Sorry, I was listening to Air Bud joke and it came out really bad. Sorry, guys.
You tried too hard.
Oh,
it'll happen. Yeah, it's not a big town. It's just a small town. It's an overnight stop for railroad workers. And while residents say there's no crime problem, the town is set deep in what U.S. Homeland Security officials say is an isolated region of the state popular with drug traffickers. Breaking Bad, anybody? They say the desolate roads in Guadalupe County make it hard for authorities to catch smugglers moving drugs from Mexico.
Well, if all you have is a dog, then it must be really hard to catch them.
How does a dog drive a car?
You know, I think that's part of the problem. He needs a seeing eye person to drive the car. He needs a chauffeur.
Yes.
They could buy the chauffeur.
What's the dog's name, does it say?
It does. Wait a minute. Does it? I don't know.
I'm sorry. Probably
Mickey Mouse dog.
It's got to be Bud.
Air Bud.
Throw your hands in
the air. I think they do. No, it's yes. In the headline, police chief resigns, New Mexico force has gone to the dog.
Oh.
I love a good pun.
Thanks, Yahoo. I think we've all had this, haven't we? We've been to a fast food joint and they get your order wrong and you get really angry. Like, I, for one, hate onions. I don't like them. They're evil. I don't like them at all. You. Although I've never reacted quite like this. A Gresham, Oregon man was arrested after allegedly throwing a soda in a McDonald's manager's face and smashing a cash register after dispute over onions on his quarter pounder.
Oh my God!
I believe it's peacefully justified.
Gresham police called it McFury. Dun dun dun.
No. Let's say you're at a whole food place where you don't believe in cooking food, and they get your order wrong.
You mean a raw food?
Yeah, raw. Thank you. Like, what's the appropriate place to get back? Like, how do you display anger? Like, I'm going to think bad chakra thoughts about you.
Oh,
I don't know. I think if you're only eating,
do you know, like, how do you get back?
Maybe collect signatures and petition.
Yeah,
because I mean, things like this happen to me because you know I'm vegan, and sometimes, you know, if I have to, I'll go to like Jim Boy's or Taco Bell and stuff, and I'll be like, okay, no cheese. And then sometimes you get home and there's cheese on your stuff. And honestly, I don't know. I think it's bad to think bad chakra thoughts. I'm like wimpy enough that if I even felt bad, I'd be like, I have to work on letting go of these feelings and like accepting.
You self-internalize.
Yeah.
Like, apologize to them. I'm sorry I took your cheese. I didn't mean
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. No, I do feel bad when it has cheese because I don't want to patronize.
Of course not.
Wah, wah. But I also feel bad because sometimes, usually only the only time I go to Jim Boy's is when I'm starving and I haven't had time to cook anything. So then I'm like, oh, yeah. Ah, yeah. Oh, damn. So, yeah, I guess internally I can relate to smashing a cash register, but you just can't go there in polite society. Yeah.
Do you know what I do? When I get really, I like to think of myself as a pretty not stressed out person.
Sure.
But for some reason, I do get incredibly annoyed if something goes wrong like that. And I'm fine. Just like driving, someone can be an asshole. If they wave or at least make an offer, I'm like, oh, whatever. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But when someone's like, oh, do you want a new one? Yes.
And this is
like
what they do.
How I ordered it.
Yeah, and don't spit in the gay dude's burger.
I know.
Oh.
And so sometimes what I'll actually do, especially if they're giving me attitude, I'm like, do I get any kind of a refund? Because I don't know if I should be expected to pay the same amount as someone who gets the order as they wanted. Like, what do you think about that? And part of me does it just to see their head spin, because I know it's mean and it's kind of patronizing. But like, because the other thought I generally have at fast food places when I see other people getting frustrated, especially because everything's so automated, what I want to pull them aside and say is, what you're seeing is a product of an educational system that doesn't allow people to learn how to think correctly because we don't teach logical thought.
Or thought.
You know what I mean? We teach, it's like a like when people don't know how to problem solve effectively, it's because they haven't been, for people that don't get it or have been raised to learn that, ooh, what just happened?
Well, the other side of that is that they're just not given any power or authority to make a decision.
Which is why places that have good customer service, like Southwest Airlines, Container Store, etc., are great because they empower their employees to do it at Kohl's. You can return anything even if it's broken. Is because they do trust people to do that. Where everyone else, you have to be like, I don't know what button to press.
Yeah, it's part of the problem though is a lot of times now we're in a education system where everybody's just being trained to pass tests. It's not here's the problem, solve it and show your work.
Yeah,
it's you need to figure out how to pass this test so we can get our federal funding.
Which, by the way, sorry not to talk about politics, but I get annoyed when people who badmouth No Child Left Behind, which actually was really great legislation, although implemented poorly, people get very excited about Obama's stance. And I'm like, interesting, because Race to the Top is nothing but standardized testing and the privatization of public education. But I won't even talk about that anymore. Sorry. A little soapbox issue. Because Race to the Top, in order to get money, your school district has to prove that you don't have to comply to federal regulations. So to do that, you do it by proving test scores.
Right. To finish off our McDonald's man, he's 50 years old. He should know better. But basically he went through the drive-thru, ordered a quarter pounder without onions, left the restaurant. When he got home, he found onions on the burger, called McDonald's. An employee said the restaurant would refund his money and give him a new burger. But when he came back, he didn't have the burger, only the drink he ordered.
Oh my God.
And since he ate the quarter pounder, McDonald's would not refund his money.
He admitted to eating it?
Well, he didn't have it with him, so how do they know he didn't eat it? So
at least with the quarter pounder, the onions are bigger. They're not the little chopped gross things.
Either way.
Or he could just take them off the burger.
So that, if you cook it into the burger, you're never going to get that out. It's cooked in.
I guess I'm just not.
It's like a stain. Like a stain. Onions are awful.
Okay.
You're a nicer person.
It's true.
I at least like onions. If it were something else, if you're like bacon, I might have issues. Let's not get into that. It's a Jew thing. I know y'all bacon. What's wrong with bacon?
I mean, I don't know if it's corporate policy, but I feel like if a guy came all the way back, we're talking about a quarter pounder. What is that? Like $1.25 or something? If he drove all the way back
that's
to the
net.
Store, like just give him another one.
He was told he'd get it. It's not like they said.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, not that he was justified in vandalizing the store, but sometimes you just have to let things go.
Exactly. But, okay, if you work this hard, fine. Here's a free cheeseburger.
What were they going to do with the burger if you give it back to them?
Right. Like, well, resell it
to the next person.
I yeah, I mean, they just throw it away, but they're... I'm sure. See, that was a McDonald's employee thinking for themselves. It was a manager. It was a manager that did it too.
Oh my goodness!
Do you know what? It was a rage. I don't even know, a year or two ago that I really wanted to. People would order an ice cream cone from drive-thru restaurants.
Yes.
And so, like, you know how when you're in a car, imagine, and they hand you the ice cream cone, they would grab the ice cream part and like squeeze it and say thank you and drive away with nothing just because it surprises the people who work there so much.
And they would film it.
And they would film it. So they're like, oh, you know, here's your ice cream cone. Thanks so much.
That's
bye.
Fantastic.
Because those people are so, you know, like, what the fuck was that?
That sounds kind of hilarious.
Right? Doesn't it? I kind of want to go do it.
I know.
Yeah,
kind
but
of.
You know, if you're working the drive-thru, you have the empty cone in your hand and you're like, that motherfucker's going to come through again in 10 minutes and want their money back or some shit.
No, the people that do it, you're supposed to, like, it's funny.
Right, it's supposed to be funny. Yeah. But if you work in the drive-thru all day, and also about the same time, there was this trend that was going along with people who would go through drive-thrus and throw food back at the employees. So it wasn't really a good time to work at a fast food joint.
Yeah. Wasn't there a YouTube video that like taught you how to get free food by taking the person in front of you's order? Like you make your order. Yeah.
Just, yeah.
I don't know. What's about exploiting McDonald's? They're already exploited enough.
One of my favorite things, though, is the look I get at drive-thrus because, shocking, I sound like a girl. So I'm always called ma'am. Like, you know, oh, you'll have the grilled chicken Osceola Ranch and a Diet Coke. Thanks. And they're like, okay, you know, your total is like $7.85, ma'am, please pull around. So I get to the window.
Well, maybe if you ordered something manly.
And they're like,
seriously.
They look at me and they're like, did you? I'm like, yep, I did. And sometimes to play with them, I'm like, yep, I did. And Adam, like, he's seen it a couple times. It's kind of funny. But literally, I'm always called ma'am. So sometimes I butch up my voice a lot, like, I'll get a double quarter pound of cheese and a chicken salad from a lady. My favorite thing.
You know, I bust on Ohio a lot, and rightfully so.
No, Ohio is great and wonderful.
Sure it is. But not this week. This week, we move our score northward to Wisconsin, where a Wisconsin man has been accused of having sex with an abandoned couch. That's right. He's been accused of having sex with an abandoned couch. The human furniture coupling was interrupted earlier this month with an off-duty cop who was out jogging late one night. Spotted Gerard Streeter, who's 46, trysting with the yellow couch, which had been left on the curb. He's got quite a mugshot, too. As detailed in the misdemeanor complaint, he was charged with lewd and lascivious behavior. The officer reported seeing a subject leaning over the couch, facing down, and it looked like he was having sexual relations with someone on the couch. The cop noted that he could see the male's hips thrusting up and down on the couch. As he approached the couch, Edwards yelled, "What are you doing?" And it's alleged that Streeter responded by jumping up and running away, as one would do. However, the cop reported that he, quote, could see that the defendant's penis was erect. Aha!
Red wienered.
The smoking penis.
Oh, that's even better. But remember when you asked earlier if you ever have a moment of regret, like just after an orgasm? I think this guy probably would have had it if he'd achieved it. But maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know.
It wasn't really a moment of regret. It was like, I'll do that. You know, talking dirty, yeah, I'll do that. And then later you're like, I don't know that I'd do that.
Well, even so, he probably would have thought, hopefully would have thought that after doing it with the sofa.
So the cop concluded that he had, quote, been thrusting his pelvic area against the cushions and trying to sexually gratify himself by rubbing his penis between two cushions. It's unclear whether the reference to two cushions meant that the couch was, in fact, a love seat.
Oh.
Thank you, writer of the smoking gun, for your lame pun.
That was your lame pun, Nate. I'm sorry.
No, I try not to do that. So, so congratulations, man in Wisconsin. You've raped a couch because a couch can't give consent.
I just want to know, like, what happened before, like, the guy's walking down the street, and he's, God, I feel so horny. Ooh, a yellow sofa. Hello there. I don't know.
Good couch.
It's happened.
I hope that was the only time.
Listen, though. I was very concerned because out in front of my place here about a week or so ago, and I had already seen this story, one of my neighbors brought a broken futon out with the cushion and left it on, you know, next to the street with a note on it saying, I will take care of this in the morning. Unless you want it, then it's free. And I thought, wow, someone's going to come by and rape this futon.
God.
And no one did, but when I got up the next morning, someone had taken the mattress off of it. So congratulations for putting out hobo bait, whichever neighbor it was, you dickweed. Don't leave hobo bait on the fucking curb, please. Anything that a hobo would take, that's hobo bait.
Or have sex
I think
with.
One thing we need to learn from this couch story is that we're in the age of the internet, and if you have sex with a couch, they're going to put your mugshot on the internet. Like that poor guy, you can see his face. Anybody in the whole world can look it up and see a big color picture of his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be linked to him forever. So you have to be more careful about your couch trysts, everybody.
It's true.
However, the other side of the argument is he's probably now a very big figure in the furniture fuck world.
Mm. Is that a real thing?
I'm sure it is.
If it's not yet, it will be soon.
I literally bet it is.
I'm sure there's probably something going on in San Francisco right now to an ottoman that would frighten
there's
you.
There's different groups of people who have sex with food, but they're broken into groups by what food they have sex with.
Wow.
I don't understand. Thank the internet.
Wow.
Then there's the balloon popping thing. Yeah, there's clowns. There's
horse
all sorts
of horse plays.
Maybe this guy will have a new career then. He can be like a VIP person at fancy parties. Mm-hmm.
Or
furniture party.
Or he's just a crazy motherfucker who fucked a couch.
Sofa fucker.
There you go. Sofa fucker.
He's like banned from IKEAs forevermore.
Yeah, that would really fuck you up at the IKEA. You're walking through and you're like, aww.
Oh, the skirkin' working.
Aww. What's going on with that? That's terrible. Hey, everybody. If you're enjoying the podcast, and I know you are because you would have turned us off long ago if you weren't, you can help support the show by shopping Amazon through the Nate Darling Show. Just go to NateDarlingShow.com, click any one of the Amazon banners or bugs or whatever you see there, and anything you buy, we'll get a little taste of it. It helps us pay the bills around here for stuff. So, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So that's a great way to support the show and get your stuff through Amazon if that's what you're going to do. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much. And we're pretty much at the end of the show.
Yay!
And like every week, we're going to end with small town news, because small town news is how we roll around here. We go back up to the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, where I'm from. Don't kick that, Larry.
I kicked it.
The town of Derby has no town clerk. Former town clerk, treasurer, and Derby school treasurer Nicole Daigle finally resigned on September 30th, and the Derby Select Board met Monday evening, that was just last night, to try and appoint Faye Morin to the position. But the motion died, leaving the position vacant. Select Board members Karen Jenny and Beulah Jean Shattuck abstained from the vote. That's right, Beulah Jean Shattuck abstained. I know you're shocked.
Beulah Jean. Beulah.
Now, Jenny said she did not think the situation regarding the town clerk's office was handled appropriately. When Daig told the select board that she had found a new job, she also decided on her replacement. That would be Faye Morin, and stayed on in order to train her. Now, Jenny said that after speaking with someone from the League of Cities and Towns, her understanding of state statutes is that a town clerk cannot just appoint their own successor, and that Derby is an equal opportunity employer, and she's concerned that the position was not advertised. Oh, yeah, and that you just appointed somebody to be the person who essentially runs the town business. Town Select Board member Steve Gendro made the motion Monday to appoint Morin as the interim clerk and treasurer, but board member Laura Dolgan was absent from the vote. Fucking people can't even show up for work. It's terrible. So, yeah, besides serving on the Derby Select Board, Jenny is the village clerk, the treasurer, and the delinquent tax collector for Derby Line. That's a part-time position, though. She is up for re-election in April, and she's undecided if she will seek re-election. She's also the assistant clerk for the village of Derby. She has more fucking jobs than Ryan Seacrest. It's terrible. I mean, this is small-town news because, you know, there's nobody in Sacramento that has, like, six government jobs. It just doesn't happen.
That's no.
True.
Larry,
That's true.
Okay. What?
But maybe that dog that runs the police force in New Mexico can relate to her.
It could be. The dog is the town clerk now. So, Larry, before we go, and since we're on Small Town News, you wanted to say something about Ami Bera?
Oh, yeah. Well, dear Ami Bera, it's pretty bad when you misspeak and say you're not going to accept a salary, and then you say you do. Don't, like, all you're doing is giving people an opportunity to vote for an asshole.
At least the SACB endorsed Barrow over Lundgren this
luckily.
Time. Well,
luckily.
I don't know if it was luck so much as skill.
Well, yeah.
Lundgren's done a lot of not-so-great things, but we're not going to be political here, right?
Tons.
You can say whatever you want. This is a free podcast.
And also, I need to say this right now.
Yes?
I'm getting very infuriated with California's system of taxation, and I'm voting no on 30 and no on 32, and I will vote no on every sales tax, because all it is a regressive tax on low-income people. And until we reframe our real estate property tax situation, which gives tax breaks to people that own homes that are worth kajillions of dollars, I can't support any tax that raises on low and middle-class people. I can't.
You mean like someone who owns a house in, say, the Oakland Hills that might work in Sacramento and live in a loft somewhere?
Like the governor, yes.
Oh, yeah, you got there.
Ooh. No, it's insane to me the fact that people own homes that are worth, why should someone that even owns like a $200,000 house, why should they pay almost no tax? Why are they paying a lower sales tax than someone who can't afford to buy a house than they would on buying a t-shirt?
I agree. That ballot initiative has ruined our state.
It's a regressive regressive tax. And I know it sucks for the higher ed system, but I can't vote on anything that's all sales tax. And both do. The one good one, the Jerry Brown one, which is actually kind of good. It at least just raises property tax or income tax on people that make over $200,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But it also is a 0.75 sales tax, which means in Sacramento, if that passes and Measure U passes, would mean sales tax will be 10%. Why should I have to pay 10% tax on a T-shirt, but a homeowner in East Sacramento that owns a house that's over $1 million pays a tax rate of less than 3%?
Because life's not fair.
The California initiative system sucks.
Exactly.
There you go.
And shot ourselves in the foot in the 70s, and we're paying the price today.
No, like, I don't understand how that's still in existence.
Because we're never going to get overturned, because can you imagine? I mean, people aren't that farsighted.
Yeah.
And you know who I blame for it all?
Obama.
Women?
Exactly.
Oh. Women. Obama. Oh, I was
women dressed as Obama.
It's the gays.
Jewish women dressed as Obama.
Jewish gay women dressed as Obama.
It probably is.
That's a new type of porn.
No, historical fucking is a group. Where it's like Civil War reenacting, but taking a whole new level where you dress up as historical characters and you have sex with people of different historical. It's like shape shifting sex.
Oh my God.
So, like,
God.
Let's say you're a Renaissance person and you are dressed up like a hippie. You would fuck.
Wow.
Whoa.
It's like an underground historical world.
Wow.
People are so weird.
I'll dress up like a Renaissance sofa. Let's see what happens.
On a far less kinky note, I've decided that I need to find myself a chick with a Scottish accent. That's, I don't know. That just sort of occurred to me. I was listening to an interview with one of the actresses on Breaking Bad who doesn't have an accent on the show, but I had her interview, and I'm like, I need a girl that talks like that.
Is there like a bagpipe association there?
No, just a nice Scottish brogue. That's all.
Are there any Scottish women listening?
Yeah, come on, baby. Either that or an Australian chick, one or the other.
Shoot.
I'm flexible. Speaking of flexible, that's going to do it for the show. Hey, did you guys hear about Jason Aldean? He's a big country star, got caught hitting on a chick at a bar in Hollywood.
Huh.
Yeah, with his wedding ring on.
Oh.
Bad idea.
Maybe they're open.
I don't think they are, because he's apologized. Oops. And that's why we're going to finish the show with Jason Aldean and his song, Take a Little Ride. Maybe that's what he was trying to tell her. That's it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you, Becca.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Becca.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank
you.
Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks for nothing, Mel. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Whee!